Morning, brothers and sisters. So this morning, we will look at the story about the rebuilding of the wall that we just read in Nehemiah. This story has some excellent lessons for us, and as the title of the exhortation states, these lessons are that we need to pray, we need to prepare, and we need to watch. And we see these lessons in Nehemiah, and we also see extensions of them in the New Testament reading for tomorrow, which is 1 Thessalonians 5. So if you turn with me now to Nehemiah chapter 4, and we'll get started. So prior to chapter 4, the people of Israel have come together to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. Now in chapter 4, they start to feel the opposition from the surrounding nations. Look at verses 7 and 8 for this. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored, and the gaps were beginning to be closed, and they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. So brothers and sisters, what is the first thing that Nehemiah does, and the Israelites do, after hearing that the surrounding nations were coming to attack them? Well, they did what all of us would do in times of trouble. They prayed to God. Take a look there at verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. And so thus, we see the first lesson from chapter 4 of Nehemiah. We need to pray. The second lesson occurs then after they pray. Now, I find this lesson to be quite interesting, brothers and sisters, that after they pray to God, they prepare for battle. If they just prayed to God, why do they need to prepare for battle? Won't God take care of them? We're going to backtrack a little bit now to the beginning of chapter 4 to look at the prayer that Nehemiah had prayed. Starting in verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So Nehemiah asks God to let their enemies, the ones who want to attack Jerusalem to create confusion in the hopes that the wall will not be built, Nehemiah prays that they will turn against each other. That's a pretty straightforward prayer that a person can give. So if, brothers and sisters, they believed that God would save them from their enemies as they had prayed, why do they then prepare for a battle? And the answer gives us our second lesson. We must always be prepared. Even when we pray to God, we still must be prepared for the answer that God gives us, whether it is the one we want or not. So in this day and age, we don't necessarily have to pray to God about protecting us from somebody trying to destroy our walls or to kill us. That in the country that we live in, it doesn't necessarily happen very much anymore. Instead, we might pray to God to help us find a new job. Right? Does that mean we just sit back and wait for God to get us a job? You know, pray to God, God, please help me find a job, and then we do nothing, right? It certainly does not, brothers and sisters. We must prepare ourselves in order to be ready when God answers our prayers. And we see that being prepared is exactly what the Israelites are here in Nehemiah. Even though they have just prayed to God for protection, they still set a watch and ready their weapons. Take a look at this in verses 13 and 14. Of Nehemiah chapter 4. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So Nehemiah here sets the people out with weapons in order to protect those who are rebuilding the wall. And if you go on to verse 15, we read here that When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So here, they know that God has answered their prayers, brothers and sisters. They have confirmation that their enemies' plot has been foiled. However, that doesn't stop them from being prepared, as we read on in the next few verses here. As I read these next few verses, pay close attention to the precaution and the preparations that the Israelites take while they're rebuilding the wall. And think about the effort that would have had to go into doing this. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, "The work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At that time I also said to the people, "Let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, so that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day." So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. So brothers and sisters, the Israelites continued to be prepared and ready to fight even after they acknowledged that God has answered their prayer. There was no need for them to be ready, yet they still were. Therein lies the lesson for us, brothers and sisters. We must be prepared to do battle at all times in our daily life, regardless of whether or not we think we need to. The Israelites had people working and watching in shifts so as no one was caught unawares. The workers even went so far as to have one hand on their weapon and one hand on their work. Could you imagine trying to carry rocks and lay mortar with a sword strapped to your waist? Or a spear in one hand and a rock in the other hand as you're walking along, your bow strung across your back, trying to knife. It would be extremely tough to do. But that is what the Israelites did in order to be prepared to defend and attack. Now, the third lesson comes then in the last few verses of Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 21 through 23, which we just read. So, if you take a look there, particular verse 22. "At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day." So these men were completely dedicated to building this wall and protecting Jerusalem. They stayed watchful, even though their prayer had been answered. They did not get complacent like many of us do today. How many of us go to work with our Bible in our hand? How many of us go to our jobs with the thought of watching out for enemies or temptations at all times? I know I don't, but I should. The Israelites were so dedicated that they worked, ate, and slept in the same clothes day in and day out. They only took their clothes off to wash. That's some serious dedication to being watchful, brothers and sisters. Do we show that much dedication to watching out in our lives? Now, granted, we don't face the same enemies that the Israelites in the time of Nehemiah do. However, we face a different kind of enemy, one that I would posit is more deadly than a physical death. Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll look at verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. We're looking at this enemy that we face now. Ephesians So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12 for now. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So brothers and sisters, the enemies that we face are not flesh and blood that is out to kill us. It is against the temptations of the world that we face each day. Those spiritual hosts of wickedness that surround us. If we give in to those temptations, if we do not pray, if we are not prepared, if we are not watchful, we will be cut off from the kingdom of God. And that, brothers and sisters, is worse than death. The death of our body is nothing compared to the realization that we have failed God in our walk to eternal life in the kingdom. So how then do we prepare for the daily battles we face each day in our lives? And the answer lies in the 13th through 18th verses of Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm sure we're all familiar with these. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And so now, brothers and sisters, we'll look at each of these pieces of armor individually. First, we'll look at the belt of truth. There's a similar concept, and Paul gets this from the book of Isaiah. So turn there with me now to Isaiah chapter 11. And verse 5. Now this chapter here sort of gives us a little bit about Christ's character. In back in Isaiah, we have prophecy of Christ's character. So Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 5, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So this belt of righteousness and faithfulness is referring to Christ. And this belt is essential to holding up your garments. It is essential to holding up your faith. It is fastened around our waist. This makes it the centermost part of our bodies. At our core, the belt of truth, righteousness, and faithfulness should be strapped on every time we go out into the world. We must have faith that God will be with us each day of our lives. And this is the prayer aspect of the lessons that we learn from Nehemiah. We must have faith in the truth that God gives us in his word. Second piece of armor that we put on is the breastplate of righteousness. And we'll go back to Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 59 in this case. And again here we have reference to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. So here, the breastplate of righteousness shows us what Christ puts on. He dedicates his life completely to God. What does the breastplate do? Well, it protects your vital organs, right? If you get a wound anywhere in the front upper half of your body, you're pretty much going to die. So the breastplate protects that. Righteousness helps protect us from the temptations of this world, hence the breastplate of righteousness. Acting and thinking righteously is part of the preparation lesson that we get from Nehemiah. The third thing that we put on are the shoes of the gospel of peace. And again, we'll turn to chapter 52 of Isaiah and verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. So we ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, are our feet beautiful? Are we prepared to spread the gospel each and every day of our lives? And that is part of the preparation that we see in Nehemiah. The people were prepared every hour of every day for battle. We face a different battle, brothers and sisters, but we still need to be prepared each day. Now, the fourth thing that we take up is a shield of faith. Now, this helps protect us from enemies that come from afar, the fiery darts, right? Arrows. If we don't directly see a temptation, having faith that God is there for us can help us fight off the temptation when it finally hits us. We might not see it coming, but we can face it with confidence because we are prepared each and every day of our lives. The fifth thing that we put on is the helmet of salvation. So we'll turn back to Isaiah again in chapter 59 and verse 17, a little later on in that verse. For he put on as righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. Now our head is where our thoughts occur. If we have salvation on our head at all times, our thoughts will always focus on God's word. Christ puts this same helmet on. His thoughts are always focused on God, and he did not give in to temptation. He was thinking and watching for temptation so he could overcome it. He was watching constantly, just as the Israelites in Nehemiah are, and just as we should be, brothers and sisters. The sixth thing that we put on is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And this is our weapon, brothers and sisters. The weapon we should have with us at all times, the Bible. We must be ready to use it to defend ourselves from the temptations of this world. The Israelites had their weapons on while they were working on the wall. We must have our weapon on all the time as well. Whether it is the verses that we have memorized or an actual Bible, we must be prepared with the Word of God all the time. Because having that preparation with us helps us when we face those temptations, when we get into those situations where we don't know what to do. We have something to rely on because we have prepared. And that is part of that preparation that the Israelites have in Nehemiah chapter 4. Now, brothers and sisters, the concept of prayer, preparation, and watchfulness are not something to take lightly. The Israelites did this too many times in their history for us to neglect these concepts. When the Israelites prayed, prepared, and watched, they served God and thrived. When they prayed not, prepared not, and watched not, they fell away from God and floundered. Now, Paul understands this concept well and tells the brethren in Thessalonica the same. Turn now to this third portion of our readings this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll look at the first two verses there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. So Paul knows that we know how to serve God. We know that we know how to serve God. We just need constant reminding to do it all the time. We must pray, prepare, and watch each and every day of our lives. We do not know when Christ will return, and we need to be prepared. We all know why we need to be prepared. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. And that reminder comes in tomorrow's New Testament daily reading, Thessalonians chapter 5. Now keep in mind, brothers and sisters, the lessons of prayer, preparation, and watchfulness that we learned from Nehemiah and that we saw in the armor of God from Ephesians. Let us remember how our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, prayed, was prepared, and watched every moment of his life, and he still died. It is not easy to do, brothers and sisters, but then, neither is fighting a battle easy. That is what our daily lives are in this world of iniquity, a difficult battle. And it is difficult to be prepared every day. Let us then, brothers and sisters, pray, prepare, and watch for the return of Christ. Let us use the suggestions in this final reading as a reminder of what we already know. We should remember this each and every day of our lives to help us win the battle against the temptations of this world, so we might enter into the kingdom of God and eat this bread and drink this wine with Christ when he returns. So we'll finish with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it.